like to talk about fear with the help of the Lord today. And I'm sure fear is not something that any of us just I don't know. We don't want to have fear in our life. In fact, many of us have worked to try to conquer fears of various kinds. At some point, probably all of us have had a some level of fear of the of darkness, just to be afraid of the dark. I want you to know that that's, if you're still a little fearful when it's dark, doesn't mean you're strange or anything like that. It just means that there is something about darkness that causes things to sound different and look different, and we all have to contend with some level of fear of darkness. I think that animals, particularly dogs and cats, they have a ability to, I don't know, they seem to enjoy the darkness. That's just the way God made them. Their eyesight's better in the dark, and they have a better sense of smell and direction and a lot of things, and many of them go hunting in the dark. That's the time when they want to prowl around and they want to sleep in the day. But anyway, thinking about fear, and here in 1 John, the 4th chapter and 18th verse, I have several verses going to read. We're not going to read all the verses in the Bible that have the word fear in it, because to my little bit of research, there's 526 verses in the scripture that have the word fear in it. And if we read all those, we wouldn't get them all done today, probably. So we're not going to read them all. But fear is an important thing that we understand. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible 526 times. So 1 John 4 and 18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we could maybe elaborate on this verse to a great extent, but the thing I want us to pick up on here is this real powerful little phrase that says, fear hath torment. And so if a little child is afraid of the dark, or an adult is afraid of the dark, it's very real. So any kind of fear, when we're talking about fear, it's not imagination. There is something that's very real about fear. If there is something that causes you to feel fearful, then it's very real to you. It's not just an imagination. It's not something that you can just cast to the side and it all go away immediately. It's something that you have to deal with and you have to cope with. And when the verse we read here says that perfect love casteth out fear. Now, it's possible for a young man or a young lady to enter into a relationship with their respective gender. Young man, young lady become attracted to one another, and maybe either one of them could be fearful of allowing their emotions to go out, although that there is some kind of inherent attraction there, because God designed you to be attracted to your spouse and all of those things. And even, you know, when I was a little boy, I very well remember the time that I went through that I didn't like girls. I just didn't. I thought that there was, you know, they were different, and I didn't like girls. And My main reason for not wanting to get married was because I didn't want to kiss a girl in front of everybody, and everybody, you know, my age bracket at that time, it was just disgusting to think about kissing a girl. They were different, you know. But there came a time in my life that it didn't matter anymore. In fact, I was looking forward to that. So all of this, you know, when there was something that happened that was out of my control, God designed me this way, that when I got to this age beyond that, it's a girl, there was something about me that had this, I was attracted to my wife, but there was this attraction that I began to consider who would be my spouse, you see. So when we have those things, then if there is a fear, we have to learn to cope with that fear. And a young lady or a young man could be very fearful about getting close emotionally to their potential spouse because of some event that happened in their life. There could be something that had been very catastrophic, but the verse here says, perfect love casteth out fear. So I would like to think that there is a way to conquer the things that cause me to be fearful, that is a destructive fear. I'm talking about this fear here, it says, fear hath torment. So fear is very powerful. Fear is something, the Greek word comes from phobos or phobos or however you say that. I kind of suspicion that that's has something to do with our word phobia today. This kind of fear will keep us awake. This kind of fear will give us goosebumps. This kind of fear will keep you from experiencing many valuable things in life. This fear that has torment. Okay, I'd like to call that, for the sake of our discussion this morning, fear of consequence. This is a very real fear. I am afraid of allowing my affections to go out because I'm afraid of being hurt. I'm afraid of the consequence. I've seen that. I've experienced hurt, emotional pain, so I'm afraid to let my affections go out to anyone or anything. But I'd like for a look over here in Revelations, the 21st chapter, and notice a verse here. I'm not trying to be exhaustive on any one verse in particular. I just want us to get a little point out of each verse that I read here. In Revelations 21 and 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and he lists a whole list of atrocities here that would keep us from experiencing the eternal reward of heaven. He said they shall have their, all of these shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So fear hath torment. Fear has, the fear of consequence is a very powerful forming emotion. It's something that we have to contend with. And if you have fear that you have to deal with because you don't want the consequence that this fear makes you pull back from, then I want you to know that it's not imaginary, all right? I don't want anyone, if there's someone here that has this real fear of something, I don't want you to feel like, well, if I shared that with Brother Danny, he would just think I was strange and that it was all no, I'm not going to say that. I might be surprised, and I might be somewhat distressed that you have an actual fear if it's something that I'm not familiar with, or maybe I think is not soundly based. But I do want you to know that if you have fears, they are real, and they are very powerful. They can be very destructive. They can be tormenting. They can keep you from resting. They can keep you from moving forward in life just because you're afraid of a consequence, whatever that might be. three types of fear I want us to talk about is the fear of consequence, the fear of failure, and the fear of displeasure. I do believe that love has a way of conquering the negative aspects of fear. It's an antidote. It's not as quickly as quick an antidote as I was reading in our Sunday school lesson this morning about the boils coming on, and I believe as I don't remember who said it, but I believe that the boils did come on the magicians first. They were handicapped. They couldn't even stand up because of the boils. And I believe that they got them first. It happened pretty much widespread, but I think they got them first. And the antidote for fear being loved don't quite work as fast as that sometimes. I believe that people... you might say, have this revelation that they love someone or something, but just completely falling in love and all of fears disappearing, just instantaneous. I have a little problem with that. I feel like that love is a little slower acting antidote. It's something that has to come on. Slowly, and it's something that has to build, but it is more powerful than fear. And I want you to know fear is very powerful today. So I'd like to go to Genesis, the 20th chapter, and notice here the fear of consequence and how that it caused the whole chapter in my mind is about fear. But I'd like to read verse 11. Maybe I'll read the first verse. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And now in verse 11, remember he's not in his homeland any longer. He's been traveling and he's found a place to take up residence. And in verse 11 he says, "And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." This is the reason that Abraham gave to Abimelech for saying that Sarah was his sister. Well, she was his half-sister. She wasn't his full-blood sister. But she was always also his wife. But because he was afraid of the consequence of acknowledging that she was his half-sister, or that she was his wife, he put her to great risk, and he put himself... Anyway, Abimelech had taken Sarah, but before he done anything that was inappropriate, God was able to speak to him, and God told him, "What you're fixing to, if you don't restore this woman to her husband, you're going to die." So this whole chapter has a lot of fear of consequence. You can read that up in verse 7. And Abraham says the reason that I was afraid, the reason I told everybody that she was my sister and all of that, and she acknowledged, yes, this is my brother, the reason they done that is because of fear. And fear of consequence, fear of something happening has caused them to act the way that they did. And you know, fear today will cause you and I to do things that other people will look on and say, "Why did you do that?" I look on this and I think, "Abraham, do you know how unsecure that made Sarah feel? If you would not say, 'That's my wife.'" I can only imagine if someone came to me and I was afraid that somebody would take my wife away. He was afraid his wife was so beautiful that somebody would kill him just to take his wife. That's what Abraham was operating under. That's why he said that. And if I was operating under the same thing and I told my wife, I said, now listen, I know we're related somewhere as if we have to go all the way back to Noah. You just tell them that we're cousins. You know, I just barely can imagine what her expression would be if she would look at me and say, "Do what? You want me to tell them that we're cousins? Yeah, yeah. Well, why do you want me to tell them that we're cousins?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm afraid that you're so beautiful that somebody might kill me and just take you away from me." You know what? Her sense of trusting me to be her protector just went out the window, right? I mean, she's thinking, what is this fellow I've married? He wants me to claim that we're cousins. We're just relatives. We're not really husband and wife. And that's what Abraham was doing, and it was because of fear. But you know, there's a better plan than that. But I just want to try to get us a picture here of how unreasonable fear can be in controlling your life. If there is a fear of something, you're afraid of whatever. Afraid of speaking in public. You know, I'm living proof that you can get above that. Because it was very fearful to me to stand in front of someone and speak. But you know, you can rise above that with the help of the Lord. And because you know that He loves you, and you can have you can conquer that thing with the help of the Lord. And there's other very real fears that can hinder people in their life. I'm not here to read more into it than what it is, but I believe it hindered Abraham and Sarah to some extent. It would hinder my wife and I if I was so afraid somebody was going to bump me off and take her. It would hinder, and I would venture to say it would hinder every marriage here this morning. So let's move on just a little bit, and I'd like for us to think about the fear of failure. Let's go to Proverbs, the 20th chapter. This verse does not have the word fear in it, but I believe it illustrates some of the reasons people draw back. So Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and I want to read the 4th verse. He says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." Do you think we could legitimately replace sluggard with fearful? And say the fearful shall not plow by reason of something. It's not lined up. I'm just not feeling like plowing today. And I'm afraid if I go out there, I'll pull a muscle or something. So I'm not going to plow today. I'm just afraid if I go to work today that I might mash my finger. And I sure don't want to mash my finger, so I'm just going to stay home today. And I wonder if I went to work today, I might have something that I wouldn't know the answer to. So I think I'm just going to stay home. You know, those kind of fears are destructive too. And our fear of failure will keep us from progressing. You know, our fear of failure will, if we're afraid that we might say something when we're standing up in front of somebody that someone else would go away and snicker about a little bit, and I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing, so I won't say anything. So, somebody has got to say something. You know, when we come together for service, if we're all fearful of voicing anything, why'd we come? You know, we have got to conquer that being afraid of speaking up, or our services won't be able to minister to anybody, even ourselves. I'm afraid. Oh, I'm afraid. If I select that song, somebody's going to think somebody else, oh, I don't know. It's just best if I don't. Fear of doing the wrong thing. Well, Lord help us here. This man, I believe, he was lazy. That's what the scripture says. But I believe he was afraid of doing the wrong. What if I plowed and planted and it didn't turn out to be 100-fold? Well, I guess that's always a chance we got to take. But I know this, if I don't plow and if I don't plant, I don't have any chance of getting a crop. I know that if I don't speak up, then the opportunity for someone else to be benefited or even myself being benefited is really zero. It really is. And if I don't attempt to hold a job, then I know there's no question. I could get fired if I went to work. But if I don't go to work, sure enough won't have a job. I really won't have any income. So you see what I'm saying here? Fear can be a real controlling thing. So notice here in Matthew 25 and 25, we have the parable of the talents. You remember that account that Jesus gave us? And I'd like to end this morning with the help of the Lord on a good note, so I'm trying to get the bad stuff out first. He says here in Matthew 25 and 25, "And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." So this man, because he was afraid of failing, if I take this talent, this sum, this ability, whatever it was, if I take this and try to use it, I'm afraid that I'll lose it. I'm afraid I won't be able to give it back. So instead of doing that, I'm just going to keep it safe. I'm going to bury it in the dark, in the dirt, where nobody sees me. I'm going to get up when my family's asleep and I'm going to go out and bury this talent and cover it up and make sure nobody saw me. And then when the day comes, I can dig it up and take it back to him. And you know, he ended up being the biggest loser, didn't he? Because that was taken away from him also. Fear of failure. You see how powerful it is? 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. Notice what it says here. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Willing mind. A willingness. Not a fearfulness. Did you know that the most extraordinary things have been accomplished in literal life because there's been somebody that's been willing? They've been willing to go against the fear. Do you think that the people that are willing have had to conquer any fears? I think they have. I think every one of us have had to conquer a fear of failure. Some of us may have had to conquer a bigger fear than others. I'm not going to negate that, because I said earlier, I believe all fears are real. There's a reason that you feel fear. You may feel fear not because you've actually made a mistake and actually failed at something. You may have fear because someone else said you couldn't. Someone else said, "I don't think it'd work. I don't think that's wise. I don't think that's the right thing to do." And you may have a real fear to overcome because someone else has imposed it on you. And you may have a fear because you've tried it once and it didn't work. I've tried a lot of things that didn't work. Some of them have been very, put a big mark on me. And you know, that's been something that I have to work on to try to rise above that. And I believe that I'm trying to emphasize how powerful fear is and can be. So I'd like for us to think about something that's real powerful in our immediate observation is that it's bad. Fear is like that, isn't it? If we say fear is awful, fear hath torment, we'd all say, yes, it does. I don't like fear. I want to get rid of all fear in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you, there is one aspect of fear I don't want you to get rid of. I want you to have every bit of power that comes from the word of fear in this. You know, in our United States, there's one place that manufactures something that could be very dangerous. One place in our whole United States. And that place is Carthage, Missouri. They make dynamite in Carthage. It's the only place in our United States, according to Wikipedia, that they make dynamite. They make dynamite there, and it gets trucked out, and it gets other labels put on it to where it looks like other companies make it, but that's not the case. All dynamite comes from Carthage, Missouri, in the United States. If it's dynamite, if they're using dynamite, it could say Ajax, or I don't care what it says on the box, it comes from Carthage. They might use it 50 miles away, and they might use it all the way in New York or New Mexico or wherever. It all come from Carthage. You know what they do with dynamite? They tear stuff up. They drill holes, put it in that hole, and then when they light it off, it breaks rocks. It throws stumps in there. I mean, it tears things up. But you know, have you ever driven down from where we live right now down to Bella Vista? You ever drove that new road? There's a section of that road that there is so much rock that there is nothing green in the center median. There's nothing green on either side. There's no road ditch to mow. And you look up on each side and it's been blasted and carved right through a solid rock. And it was all done with what? Dynamite. They drilled and shot and scooped and hauled and graded and they built a road right through there. And now instead of having the twisty-turny, uppy-down, if you're not watching where you're going, you've got a bellyache road. Now we've got a smooth road, a pretty straight road. You can set your cruise control and go to Bella Vista, Arkansas from where we're at without stopping pretty much. You can get right out here on 249 and set your cruise and don't have to slow down until you get to Bella Vista. All because of dynamite. Thank the Lord for dynamite. The power of dynamite. And I'm thankful this morning for the power of fear. All right? I don't like fear that makes me afraid of consequences, and I don't like the fear of failure because both of those are very negative. And I don't want anybody getting a stick of dynamite and putting it under my house and lighting it off. I don't want that. I don't want you to put dynamite in my car, and I don't want you to put dynamite in my yard anywhere. I've got it just like I like it. I don't want my trees tore up. I don't want you to put dynamite under my feed trough for my cows or anything like that. But I thank the Lord for dynamite today. Because I can get in my car and set my speed control and I can go places that 20 years ago I couldn't do that. If I'd have set my speed control and headed off to Bella Vista, Arkansas 20 years ago, I would end up in the woods. I would not be on the road. There's no way to do it. There was curves down there that were, they were awful down through that road. All right? So I'd like for us to look at something where fear needs to be taught I'd like to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And notice what it says here. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Did you know that the fear of displeasure is something that has to be taught? And it's something that has to be instilled, and it's powerful. And I had a grandfather that read this verse to me every time in family worship. Y'all all have heard that. And I'm going to say it so much that, good Lord willing, when I'm gone, you'll still remember it. But every time we had family worship, he opened the Bible and read Ephesians 6 and 1. And he usually ended up reading a few more verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He wanted me to get the message. He wanted to instill that this is the right thing to do, to be obedient, because he wanted us to have a fear of displeasing our parents. And he wanted that fear to be something that I could couple with fearing to be displeasing to my Heavenly Father. I really think that's what his ultimate objective was. He wanted me to obey my literal parents too, but he wanted me to be fearful of displeasing God. And this is one of the most powerful things that we can have in our life, is being fearful of displeasing our Heavenly Father. I want to please Him. I don't want to do anything that would make Him displeased. So this fear is just as it's a powerful thing that will hinder me, I believe it's a powerful thing that helps me and puts me in, you might say, in a close relationship with my Heavenly Father. Job 28:28. Let's turn there. Job 28, and notice verse 28. He says here, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Do you think it's wise to have a fear of the Lord? Job said it was. He says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Well, we just think that's common sense. Well, is it? I think it's something that we have to learn and we have to cultivate. Because we have a healthy fear. I want to please the Lord. And so if I want to please the Lord, that's wisdom. And that wisdom will help cause me to depart from evil. It's a powerful, just like dynamite, it's powerful. It can make some big changes. And he says here, unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You know, if we are left to our own devices, what do we end up doing? We end up causing ourselves confusion, and we end up going the wrong way, don't we? But if we have a fear of displeasing the Lord, doesn't that cause us to dig around and scratch and find out what it is to make us pleasing to the Lord? So I've got to believe that a fear of displeasing God is a very healthy thing. And it's something, it shouldn't be a fear of failure. And it shouldn't be a fear of consequence. It should be a powerful emotion that makes me want to be pleasing to God. All right, so let's go to Psalms, the 19th chapter, or the 19th Psalm and the 9th verse. And notice what else it says about this. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Do you ever feel very clean when you're fearful of failure or fear of consequence? I don't. If I'm afraid that something's going to get me out in the dark, that's not a very clean sensation. And usually whatever I'm afraid of is kind of ugly and slimy and nasty and all of that kind of stuff. But it says here, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. A fear of displeasing the Lord is clean. It's wholesome. It's uplifting. It's a motivation that's powerful, and it will help shape our lives in the right way. Okay? Psalms 22 and 23 says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him." What are you afraid of? I'm talking about a consequence now. You afraid to go turn over boards out in the lumber pile in the dark? I have a little bit of fear about that. You know, if I have a stack, I've got a building that's got used lumber stacked in it. And if I go pick up some of those boards in the dark, I don't want to do that. I have this thought in my mind that there might be, just might be, a copperhead under there, because they like cold, dark places. And if I go get some of my used lumber, I want to do it in the daylight. And another reason I think there might be something under those boards is every time I go out to that building, my dogs go in there and they go right to those boards and they bark. So I think there's something under there. So if you tell me, Brother Danny, I'd like to have one of your used boards, I would probably say either bring a light or wait till it's daylight. I'm not going out there in the dark just to go rummaging through my lumber pile. All right? But what did it say here? It says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him." "All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel." Is that what I read earlier? What's that? No, I wanted 22 and 23. "I will declare, oh, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him." So if you're going to praise the Lord, and we're talking about something that you fear, it's not something that you're afraid of the consequence. That's the point I want us to get. I'm not afraid of the consequences of praising the Lord. I'm not afraid of... It's not a fear of consequence. It's a fear that if I don't praise Him, I won't have that close relationship with Him. You see? I want this. I want to be close. I don't want to go pick up my lumber pile in the dark. I want to be close to the Lord. All right? Psalms 34 and 11. Bear with us just a few minutes here. Psalms 34 and 11 says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I will teach you the fear of the Lord. How do we teach the fear of the Lord? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How do we teach the fear of the Lord? The Lord loves you. We want to please Him. These are the things we do to please the Lord. We teach the children. We teach one another. He says here, 34 and 11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I'm not talking about a fear of consequence. There is a fear of consequence that the Lord can bring, but I'm talking about a fear that causes us, oh, I wouldn't want to do anything to displease Him. Do you know what you do when you really love somebody? You're afraid of displeasing them, aren't you? If you really love them, you're afraid that if I don't behave properly, it'll make them unhappy. So here he says, "Come and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. I'll teach you what is required to keep to make the Lord happy. I want Him to be happy with me. I want Him to want to bless me. I want to live in a manner where it is a blessing and it's not Him just having mercy on me. All right? I want to end with Proverbs, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. I thought about reading several of these verses from Proverbs, but I thought there's just too many. You'll get the point. In Proverbs 9 and 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." In the book of Proverbs, especially in the first few chapters, the fear of the Lord is connected to wisdom about 5 or 6 times. So here he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Did you know that this fear of displeasing the Lord is a good way to gain wisdom? If we have a real, you want to be able to get the wisdom that another generation has, be in a place where you respect them and that you want to please them, then they'll open up and tell you everything they know. They'll share things with you that you couldn't get it any other way. So I just want us to get a hold of the power of fear. I know all of us have had to deal with the fear of consequence. All of us have had to deal with the fear of failure. And I want us all to embrace the fear of displeasing our Lord. I want you to be pleasing to your spouse. And if you're a child today, I want you to be pleasing to your parents. But I want us most of all to be pleasing to the Lord. And Lord, how do I learn how to have the proper fear? I know it's powerful. And I wouldn't want to do anything that would displease you. I want to live in a manner that will cause you to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I desire your prayers."